chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Let me read it, that verses 26 onward. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful passage of scripture as we go into meditate this evening. Help me to speak clearly, and it may be bring glory and honor to your name, as well as I pray for the congregation here to understand this passage clearly when I speak. Let your name be glorified in and through our preaching and meditating on this scripture. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for the wonderful time that we can come to your presence and give glory and honor to your name and praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. William Carey, a poor English shoemaker, was born in 1761. After his conversion at the age of 18, he began preaching in some small Baptist chapels, supporting himself by his trade. Reading Captain Cook's voyage sparked his interest in foreign missions. As he continued to study the Bible, he became convinced that the central responsibility of the church should be foreign missions. And when he shared his ideas at a minister's gathering, one pastor angrily said in this way, Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine. But William Carey went on with his vision. When Carey actually proposed going himself to India as a missionary, his father exclaimed, Is William mad? But mad William Carey went to India, where he labored for 40 years, never returned. As he supervised and edited translation of the Bible into at least 36 languages. He published grammars and dictionaries, labored to abolish widow bedding and infant homicide, and studied botany to promote agricultural improvement. In a sermon before he left England, William Carey uttered his now famous words, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. He is often called the father of modern missions. As we study in our this passage this evening, when we read from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 onwards, we can see the background of this passage. Philip takes the gospel into a Samaritan territory. Great revival in Samaria happened. A lot of people are getting saved. In the middle of this revival, the Lord sent an angel to tell Philip to leave that region. He was to travel to a deserted road that led south from Jerusalem to Gaza. God arranged a meeting there between Philip and one man, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was traveling home after worshiping in Jerusalem. God opened this man's heart, and Philip led him to faith in Jesus Christ. This story clearly teaches that God evangelizes the world through obedient Christians who explain the gospel to seeking souls. It's very clear. God evangelizes the world through an obedient Christian who explains the gospel to seeking soul. The story reflects four elements in the conversion of a soul. First of all, we can see that the Holy Spirit's initiative and preparation. He prepared Philip. Then again, second thing, the word of the Lord penetrating the minds and hearts of sinners. And of course, thirdly, the obedient Christian who explained the gospel message. And finally, the response of the obedient faith in the person hearing the message. Let me explain those four things shortly. God takes the initiative in the salvation of souls. God's sovereignty in the salvation of this Ethiopian eunuch, this man, is dominion theme here from here in this particular portion of scripture. That means God sent an angel to tell Philip to go to a particular remote place. He arranged for Philip and this man's paths to cross. He prompted Philip to go up to the man's chariot. At that very moment, God had providentially arranged for the man to be reading aloud from Isaiah, and not just from any part of Isaiah, but from Isaiah 53. You know, you could not pick a better opening for the gospel from the Old Testament. At the right moment, after the man had trusted in Christ, they came upon some water, and so the man was baptized. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So we can see the sovereignty of God saving souls. When we come to today, when we realize that when I got saved, it's because of His. As we sang this evening, the wonder of it all is God loves me. I didn't love God first because God loved me first. That is what I am loving God. So that we can see here. But when I study these passages, the two things we need to note is that first, God is not always as efficient as we would want Him to be. Why did I say that way? The Ethiopian eunuch had just made a 1,000-mile journey to Jerusalem. You know, while he was in Jerusalem, God could have sent an apostle to tell the gospel to this eunuch. But he didn't do that one. Then, of course, then the other thing I was thinking about, you know, this Ethiopian eunuch, now he is going back to his house. He is going back to his own place. And he is going to a deserted places. But at the same time, Philip, he is having a revival meeting in Samaria. A lot of people are getting saved. And a lot of people are getting healed and everything. So at that moment, God is telling Philip, now go to a deserted place. So sometimes we think that that way. But we know that God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes He does things that seems to us like a waste of money or personal. Our job is not to question the Lord, but to be obedient. Of course, William Carey must have wrestled with this, with God's inefficiency, when after 19 years of labor, a warehouse fire destroyed 10 complete Bible translations, his massive polyglot dictionary, two grammar books, and all of the tedious shaped type fonts. But God used the tragedy to spread the word about this mission, and in 2 months, enough gift had poured into the mission to pay for the huge losses. Now, God has his ways to save the sinners. And when we think about, when I mentioned about my father-in-law, he was, you know, God has to bring him and his family to U.S., then he got saved here, and God sent him back. And that we can see that. Second, notice that God's target is the world. Foreign missions was not something that the church or some brilliant strategist found out. It is God's program. He commanded Philip to evangelize this Gentile man from Ethiopia. I would like to explain, but when we come to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, John sees before God's throne the four living creatures and 24 elders singing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." That means God's target is to the world. You know, when I say this one, one day we are all going to stand before God's throne, judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to live forever in his presence. That time, you know, even though you may not be able to see the believers that you prayed for in India, but this is the same song we are going to sing forever, because God has purchased us from all every kindred and every nations, and we will be all together. So God's target in evangelizing the world, that is the target. And that is what God said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. And secondly, God uses his word to penetrate the minds and heart of sinners. People can discern the existence of God and some of his attributes from creation. It's very clearly, you know, they can look at the creation and say that, okay, there is a God. There is a God. But they can only learn how to be saved through the revelation of God's word, which tells us the good news about Jesus Christ. This Ethiopian eunuch was interested enough in seeking God to make a long and difficult journey to Jerusalem. When he came away from there with a scroll of prophet Isaiah, he was so interested in reading. And he maybe started from the chapter 1 onwards, and he was almost through the entire book. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, when Philip came alongside of his chariot. Once it was explained to him, God used those prophetic words about Jesus to bring this man to salvation. So, as a believer, we have to understand in this way, don't underestimate the power of God's word to bring people to salvation. When I sometimes get the question like this, you know, in India, it's a different culture, different people. How do you evangelize the people? I mean, I share the gospel from God's word. And God's word has the power to quicken. And that is what we can see that. So as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, explains in this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In James chapter 1, verse 18, in other words, of his own will, beget he us with the word of truth. Yes. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, when Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, young man, that he is telling that, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So God's word is powerful to save sinners. Yes, we have that God's words in our hand. And through hearing God's word, people are going to say, to come to know the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we should encourage people. When I share the gospel, this is one of the way I do it. I take the scripture and I give to them and I let them read the verse. And that is one of the way we can, when they read it, you know, don't think that this is just written in, of course, we all know that this is a God's word. I like what you have written here, the grass withereth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's what we have. And this word has power to save sinners. And that's the only way that God is saving people. So God uses his word to penetrate the minds and the heart of sinners. So when you share with the unbelievers the gospel, you know, share from God's word. Even though when we can see that Philip, he pointed out that particular portion and he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. That is the gospel. That is what we all have to do it. And we can see that one. And thirdly, let me go forward. Thirdly, we can see that God uses obedient Christians to explain the gospel from his word to seeking souls. It is very clear with Philip. It is very clear with my father-in-law, Matthew Thomas. It is very clear with every one of us. We need to be obedient. Although God sovereignly works to bring people to salvation, he does not usually do it apart from his obedient people. Here is Philip in the midst of an exciting revival when an angel of the Lord tells him to go to a deserted, stretched road where no one lived. In verse 27, we can see that angel said to Philip, arise and go. And verse 27, what we can see, he arose and went. So we can see the obedient Christian right there. So God uses the obedient Christian to explain the gospel from his word of seeking souls. That is very important for us this evening. Are we obedient? Are we obedient Christian to explain the gospel? Sometimes we think that what we can explain, I don't know. But I can see that the Philip, when he came to this Ethiopian eunuch, he just preached Christ. That means he preached who is Jesus and why he came to this world and what he did. It's very simple. He came to this world to die on our behalf, a substitute for the sinners. And he rose again on the third day, and he is the Savior. And anybody can share that word. All the Christians. But the question is, are we obedient to that command? That is the question. And finally, God works in the heart of a sinner to impart new life and obedient faith. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul writes, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Of course, in Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, put it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And another scriptures also tells the same thing clearly. None of us, that means none of us are naturally inclined toward the gospel. Sinners do not seek after God. The salvation is all of God and of his grace. Therefore, no one can boast. So that is a great reminder always that I explained in the very beginning that I did not find God. God found me and he saved me and he finished his salvation work. By the grace of God, by faith, I received Christ into my heart. This means that God is already at work in this Ethiopian eunuch's heart, drawing him to Jesus. Evangelism depends on our God working through our obedience. The same Holy Spirit who used Philip to reach the Ethiopian eunuch and who used William Carey to reach thousands with the gospel wants to use you and me to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to here in this place and beyond. With William Carey, let us obediently expect great things from God and attempt great things for God as we take the gospel to the lost world. Pastor, please come.